Money and markets. Europe has been rocked by elections. I put a interview from Spiegel Online from Marine Le Pen, the leader of France's National Front Party, which scored its first nationwide poll victory in the European elections weeks ago, and is trying to form a political group in the European Parliament. And she echoes sentiments that are being heard worldwide, the idea being the European Union is just centralization that has really harmed the economy. And this is, you know, and as part of this, Europe is, of course, being rocked by the kind of deflation we're seeing here. And Le Pen does a very good job of sort of explaining why this is wrong. And I think the question for all these groups, all the groups that are coming together and say, wait a minute, we need to decentralize, is how do you create a series of visions that will allow us to sort of support each other cross-border? And that's what needs to come together if we're going to get a really important shift. And I put a variety of things up on the blog this week to kind of talk a little bit about what we need to do to have something other than a, you know, if the leadership's plan is to centralize control of the economy and quietly depopulate, then what's our plan? Because if we're not going to depopulate, then we need to come to something which is in harmony or certainly alignment with the ecosystem. And there are absolutely ways to do it. There's an entrepreneur from Memphis who sent me his proposal on how we should do it. It's up in the blog called Mythgard 1.0. And it describes, or it's by Mythgard 1.0. And it describes many of the issues we all have to grapple with if we're going to try and come up with an alternative plan. As I said, deflation is stalking everybody and everything. The ECB announced a negative deposit rate on bank reserves, negative 0.01%. That's 1 basis point. So there are 100 basis points in 1%, and it's so it's 0.01%. They're hoping to inspire lending. It's kind of a cross current because if you look at what the European Union and regulation and everything else is doing, it's basically shutting down the economy on the European equivalent of Main Street, really making life impossible for small business. And you're turning around and saying, oh, we're hoping to inspire lending. The U.S. has revised its first quarter growth. I said in the first quarter that we had contracted, even though they were announcing 0.8% growth, which is essentially nothing. That's 8 basis points. They've revised first quarter growth to negative 1%. Given how much money we're printing, that means the contraction, contraction in real terms was even more. My guess is the revision is designed so that they can announce growth in the second quarter. But if you look around the economy, you see plenty of areas of the economy that are really slowing down or experiencing sort of cash flow meltdown. So deflation is clearly afoot. I posted a commentary called Wither the U.S. Dollar, because as this happens, as the cash flows slow down, you always get pundits who are screaming more and more about the dollar's going to collapse and things aren't going to work, and it's very sort of negative stuff on the dollar, when in fact, if anything, we've seen the dollar rising this week. When people get worried about liquidity issues and the economy, that's, you know, for now, that's what's happening. They're going to the dollar. And what I've said many times is I don't see the dollar having a significant problem this year. Check that commentary out on the blog. It's called Wither the U.S. Dollar, and then another one related to that called Speak Life into Our Situation. I'm a little bit tired of listening to various pundits scream about how the end of the world is coming. I think it is highly irresponsible, and it leads to financial decisions which are the wrong decisions. If you want an example of people who are headed in the right direction, a couple of weeks ago, I put up my latest crowdfund. We gave a small donation to something called Solar Freakin' Roadways, about integrating solar and renewable technology into the roadways and sort of the infrastructure of the country. And it was interesting. Several weeks later, Mark Dancy wrote a commentary about it. Mark Dancy's an entrepreneur with an incubator for sort of new technology, who I have great respect for. He's Australian. And his incubator is, he goes back and forth between Australia, and he's got part of the incubator here in the U.S. And he wrote a long piece about, you know, what the pros and cons of the proposal were. My attitude is this is exactly what we need to be inventing. I don't care if it works or not. Obviously, I'd love to see it work, but if it fails, we need to be failing in the right direction where ultimately success will be. And I think figuring out how to make solar roadways is a lot more productive than shrieking about the, you know, the coming collapse of the dollar. Internet wars, as the Snowden revelations reverberate around the world, you have more and more leadership realizing they need their own payment systems, they need encryption, they need ways of dealing with the internet that doesn't sort of suck them into the machinery. I've been putting a series of articles up about that, one being sort of regulatory decisions in China and Europe related to Google. We had the German minister propose that we break up Google, one French economic minister saying they didn't want to be a digital colony. And China urges its banks to remove IBM servers over espionage concerns. So we're one of the things very deflating for the economy is the fact that, you know, we now are living in a world where we have to rely on systems we don't trust, whether you're in the United States, Germany, France, China, wherever. We had probably the stupidest, most insulting article I've ever read in the Wall Street Journal this week from a guy named John Steele Gordon saying all of the deflation is really coming from the semiconductor. No attribution to what happens from government regulation, taxation, and top-down criminality and things like entrapment of people with the housing bubble. You know, it was quite amazing, and I'm sure the criminals appreciated his efforts. There are a whole series of commentaries over the last 2 weeks I want to point out to you. Got some really great stuff up on the blog. One article, Scientists Achieve Quantum Teleportation Breakthrough That Could Prove Einstein Wrong. Basically, if you remember Star Trek and Beam Me Up, Scotty, they're saying they can do it now. It's quite, you know, amazing and an example of sort of the breakthrough things that are happening in technology everywhere you turn. Turkey cuts off the Euphrates flow. Charles Hugh Smith joined me to talk about soft weapons. That's a perfect example of what I describe soft weapons. They're cutting off the water to Syria and Iraq. You know, my guess, it wouldn't surprise me to learn that the pressure brought by the United States has Turkey doing this, but it's a perfect example of natural resource warfare and the kind of covert warfare we're seeing around the world and the efforts to control and use water as a control tool are going to only increase. A great piece from The Economist called Asian Business, A World to Conquer. It's off the homepage now, but if you drill back, you can get it. And there was a 14-page spread in The Economist really talking about the fact that the Asian corporations, which really haven't competed as to brand and sort of sophistication with the European and the American to date, are now taking the step up to do that. It's all part of the conversation I said as Alibaba prepares to go public in the United States. I think that is going to be a very sort of rock the world moment. And I think the Economist took time to step back and look at the deeper issue there, and I would recommend it to you. I did a review of Glenn Greenwald's new book, No Place to Hide, about the Snowden revelations. It's up on the blog. Greenwald does a real service by pulling it all together, and I think it really helps you understand the challenge we have of dealing with systems. He doesn't go into entrainment, but if you add what Snowden has described to us and you layer entrainment on top of it, what you realize is the extent to which we're dealing with systems that have absolutely no integrity. Mary Meeker, venture capitalist from Silicon Valley, every year does a presentation on the state of the web. It's a very useful way to track what's going on with the build out of, you know, sort of 3 billion people now having smartphones, and I recommend it to you. A lot of interest in our subscriber base that the USDA has now put out a contract to get submachine guns. Doesn't surprise me, and there are many possible different explanations, but enforcing the food laws is going to be harder and harder. If you wonderful interview with Jeffrey Smith this week, but it talks about the power of what the consumer is now wanting and demanding, and we're reaching, as Jeff said, a real tipping point of consumers saying, you know, we don't want Frankenfood, we want real food. And so the enforcement issues over the food supply are getting meaner and meaner. Do I take that as a sign that the U.S. government is preparing for collapse? No. First of all, it's important to understand that the United States government is required to be prepared for collapse. So if I think it's 0 to 5%, you know, they've got to be prepared anyway. So that's number one. there could be many other possible explanations. But if you look at the timing of U.S. contracts, what you know is, you know, those weapons will show up and be available and be trained by the end of 2015. So it's not a 2014 issue. It is, however, very ominous in terms of what they think they need in terms of enforcement to deal with implementing what I consider to be genocide. So I think that it's not that I don't think things are getting worse. I think that where we are is plenty bad already. There was a very interesting article posted on the blog, Little Children Are Already Acting Mean. And it talks about the extent to which very young children are now showing very self-centered, sort of narcissistic, predatory kind of behavior. And one of the things I would encourage you to understand is TV, social media, all the different entrainment encourages people to behave this way. And I'm seeing an epidemic of it throughout the society. And you want to be very careful to screen people and screen those around you. And if you have little kids or grandkids, please be very careful about how much of that sort of stuff they can consume, because it can have a very profound impact on their character. The Air Force prepares to dismantle HAARP ahead of summer shutdown. My read on that is HAARP has been privatized. Very bad sign. At least if it was under government control, you know, there was some disclosure and transparency on it. Financial markets. Bonds have had a very good year to all of our amazement. We started the year thinking, okay, the turn in the bond market is finally here. And interest rates, the Fed was indicating interest rates are going to rise. In fact, interest rates have come down. We've had a short-term correction. The best foreign long treasuries, you know, have outperformed Standard & Poor's S&P 500 by quite a lot. As of last week, they're up 10%. They've been correcting down, and the S&P was only up about 2%. Now it's headed up. So still sort of double the performance on the long treasuries against the U.S. equity markets. Bloomberg had a very interesting piece up on the blog, Unstoppable $100 Trillion Bond Market Renders Models Useless. Here's the reality. You have so much debt floating around the world. Thank you, central banks. The question is, how do you model it if the base upon which is holding it up from a credit standpoint and is paying the interest rates, paying the interest payments, if that is shrinking, and that's what deflation is doing. The whole idea of the debt was you inflate the economy and then it can afford to pay the debt back. That's debasement. Of course, the winner in that game is the guy who can keep on printing no matter what, which currently is the U.S. Treasury. The S&P is moving up even higher, and the ECB decision to sort of go to slightly negative interest rates on reserves is helping. They talked about more kinds of quantitative easing. They have yet to put a lot of significant meat on the table that way. If they do, then you're going to see the strong equity markets move up even higher. The emerging markets have perked up, but with the dollar rising, it still looks early to me. Commodities and precious metals, the deflation is pulling away at them. On the ECB decision, gold just jumped a little today, but again, I still think we have not yet found our bottom, and it could be a long, slow summer for precious metals until we do. As I said, I think the dollar's rising despite all the shrieking about the dollar. The dollar looks stronger, and if this kind of situation we're in right now continues, I think you could see the dollar as high as 83, 84, U.S. dollar index. An interesting announcement, speaking of creating alternative systems, very interesting announcement from the Vatican came in today. Francis has fired his entire financial board, all Italians, all male Italians, and replaced them with people from the United States, Switzerland, and the Italian who is on the board is a woman. First time woman ever on that group. So this is a pretty dramatic transformation. We had one subscriber ask me the question, what does the Vatican have to do with the financial system? Oh, they have a lot to do with the financial system. Remember, when you've had diplomatic immunity and no taxes for 2,000 years, you can build endowments behind the scene that are quite extraordinary. So wouldn't we love to have a financial statement of their complete global holdings, including all affiliates?